Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Real Estate Funds podcast. Today we have Elijah Brown from Gold Hawk Capital, who went from zero to about 2,500 multifamily units in about 8 years. So, Elijah, welcome to the show.
Wes, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it. It's been great getting to know you on LinkedIn, but it's much better to see you in person here. And
For
thanks for
sure.
having me on the
As
podcast. Yeah.
much in person as we can get here. So, yeah, tell us more about your background and how you scaled so quickly and how you got to 2,500 units.
Started with one single family house. I was in college and got a few buddies together. We got a single family house and then did it three more times. Ended up getting a job at a real estate company out of school. And a number of my coworkers came in with me on multifamily property and then started partnering with other multifamily operators to do much bigger buildings. Got to a point where I didn't want to be an operator anymore, sold a bunch of stuff, and now I'm doing mostly the fund to funds route, which is what you do.
Gotcha. Yeah, so walk us through the process of how the fund of funds structure works with you guys at Gold Hawk Capital.
Yeah, it's probably very similar to the way you do it. We start with deal flow. A lot of operators send us their deals. Right now, I'm looking at about 50 deals each month, and our team will go through them and essentially weed out all the ones we don't like. And right now, we're choosing to invest in about 2% of the deals that we see. And so once we've decided that we want to do a deal in the fund of funds, we'll start our own LLC. We'll set up our own completely separate LLC. We'll get legal documents, a portal, the whole thing, and then we'll actually go and raise capital within that LLC. Put anywhere from $1 to $3 million in a bank account, and then we'll use that money to invest in the deal as one investor. And doing it that way gets us much better terms. So if you're investing 50 grand, you probably don't get good terms in the deal, but if you're investing $1 million, you can negotiate on the profit split and other terms.
For sure. And how are you finding these operators? And you mentioned 50 deals a month. How do you find those deals, and how do you find the operators you want to work with?
It's really all from shaking the booty on LinkedIn. So I started posting a couple years ago, just three or four times a week, but doing it consistently. Once you start closing on deals and people realize that you're writing checks, everyone wants to send you their deal. So we started getting a lot of deals, and I leaned into it and I start posting about all the checks that we're writing, the deals that we're investing in, and all the investors that are interested in deals. And then operators email me their deals.
For sure. Yeah, so what are you looking at moving forward here? Because you've done a lot of multifamily and the fund of funds route. Seems like you're also partnering with people. So what are you looking at structure wise in your future deals?
So I'm looking to do more of the same. So I just want to keep doing this because it's growing and growing. I got a lot of leads coming in the door through LinkedIn and through the podcast and stuff, and I want to continue to increase my check sizes on these deals. But in addition, I'm also starting to venture into more white glove equity brokerage, which is when a sponsor comes to me and says, I need, a $10 million JV partner or a co-GP or a large pref equity check. And I'll see if I can try to arrange that for them with just one investor, rather than, going to 100 investors for it.
Yeah, and where would you find that one large check writer?
So I'm still finding them on LinkedIn, to be honest. There are a lot of people who work for family offices and institutions that are looking for deals, and they're on LinkedIn. I also have a newsletter, and there's word of mouth. You start hearing about different things the longer you do this, and then you reach out to people. And so I've just been slowly building my list, and I actually set up a web-based, it's just a Google sheet where I go and I list my opportunities for family offices and institutions to look at. So like I don't have 15 years to like figure out how to get in the room with these guys. And so I figure let me start with finding the absolute best deals possible, like the top 10 deals out of the hundreds that I'm looking at, and then I'll allow all the family offices to just come to my website or my Google Sheet and look at those deals. because I don't have 15 years to, you know, make the relationships needed to get in the room. So, yeah.
So it's kind of a quicker relationship builder. So do you basically find the deals first and then bring them to the family offices, or is it the other way around?
No, I start with deal flow. The reason why is I don't want to try to sell a crappy product to someone because the chance that they buy is very low. I want to start with only bringing them like the cream of the crop, top tier opportunities, because then, you know, they'll know me as the deal guy who has the high quality deals. If I just brought them any random deal that came across my desk, you know, they would just toss it aside. They wouldn't take me seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if you went to them first and then found the deals that they're looking for? Because they might be diversified in different kinds of assets.
It's a great point. So we start with our own deal flow. We share it with them. We get their feedback, figure out what they don't like, what they like, and then we can tweak from there and provide more custom white glove service. I mean, our platform is moving to the point where the family office can go to the platform, filter down through 100 deals or whatever to just the criteria that they want. Instead of me having to figure out what they want, keep track of it in a database, and then send them an individual email.
That's a good point. So what do you think they're looking for in this market? What are you seeing there?
Well, the magic, it's hard to get deals funded right now. Everybody's struggling. But really, like, the magic formula is have a deal that has positive leverage. So that means the purchase cap rate should be higher than the loan interest rate. And if not, then you need to borrow a lot less money. The DSCR should be over a 1.25 on day one. And then we're really looking for, you know, high enough stabilized yield on cost such that we can make a solid dividend. So we're usually looking for like 5-7% cash flow for the LPs on the deals. And it's pretty straightforward, but like 99% of deals don't really check the boxes, or the sponsor doesn't have a track record with full cycle deals, or, you know, something doesn't make sense. We see a lot of loan assumptions at the expense of overpaying for the property. So a lot of people think they can just, overpay for the property because they're getting a 4% assumable interest rate, but that really doesn't make sense. You got to have both components. You got to be getting a good price and potentially assuming someone else's lower interest rate.
Yeah. And what are you seeing with the operator standpoint? Cause you talked a lot about the deal and what you look for on the deal side. What do you look for in an operator?
So really the biggest thing is full cycle deals. I'm looking for someone who's done the thing before, because then I'll know that they can do it again. So, and I really start with like five. So the operator's got five full cycle deals. I know that they've done it enough times. Now, we selectively invest in emerging sponsors who have less than five full cycle deals, but only when it's the best deal we've ever seen. So for example, Lone Star Capital has some of the best deal flow that I've ever seen in Texas. And so we are investing in their deals, even though they only have two full cycle deals. So we're just really bullish on them. We followed them for 2 years before even writing our first check, and had multiple in-person meetings. And, you know, we're tracking them and building a relationship before we deployed capital.
For sure. How do you think operators can increase their deal flow and get better leads in that regard?
It's tough. It's like chicken or the egg. You have to be closing on deals to prove to everyone that you can be a closer. And once everybody knows that you're a closer, they'll start sending you all the best deals. Kind of in the beginning, you just got to take what you can get and follow your word and close on the deal. But after that, you really got to have strong relationships with all the brokers. You got to be closing deals and not retrading as much. So it's tough to get deal flow, but once you've got it, it's worth more than anything else.
That's good. Yeah. So talk more about the deal. I think you just completed it with Randy Smith and ATX. Talk more about that deal and what you saw, as a big benefit to the investors there.
Yeah, so this is the Portofino Club deal in Jacksonville. Awesome opportunity. ATX across the board has just been fantastic, and I really want to focus on operator here rather than deal metrics because the deal metrics are fantastic. Anything that they come out with is great. You know, positive leverage, great stabilized yield, value add, the whole nine yards. They have all that on all of their deals. What sets them apart is they have like 86 full cycle deals with solid return rates, and they're really, really great people. Like you can tell when you meet with them and you talk to them, they are like super high quality, moral, ethical, like great character. You know, they're very knowledgeable about what they do, and they've been doing this for a long time. You know, they've got the expertise, and so. You know, it really starts with the operator. We really, really trust them. So, you know, we give their deals a hard look anytime we get it. I launched a pitch competition, like a mini pitch competition on LinkedIn, like at the beginning of 2024. And these guys actually had the best deal. There was a deal called 11, 11, 11 or something. And the timing wasn't right for the investment, but so I passed on that first deal, but I kept following them, and I launched another competition a few months ago, and they submitted Portofino Club, and out of like 50 deals, that one was also the best deal that we had seen. So, you know, the metrics are great, but the sponsor is also great.
Gotcha. And you're looking at working with them moving forward and also some other operators. Do you choose to work with just a select few, or are you open to other operator opportunities?
We have relationships at this point with like 100 different operators. We have really close relationships with less than 20. So once we find a good jockey that we really like, we will invest in their deal in like a lot of their deals, like over and over and over again, because we've done all of the trust building and the due diligence, and we know who they are, and we trust them, and we know that they're competent and can get the job done. So we give their deals a longer look than everyone else. And like all the, we know what the process is going to be like with them because we've done it before. And so it's really like easy to just set it up and do it again over and over with the same operator.
Gotcha. And you're just sticking with multifamily for now?
Right now, so my theory was I wanted to start super niche. In like one city with one asset class, one everything to become an expert and then branch out from there. And so we started in Phoenix, just going after like 100 plus unit class B value add stuff. We have since expanded to consider smaller buildings and much larger portfolios as well. And we've added a number of different states to what we look at. So now we're really looking all across the Sun Belt region, mostly red states. So like Arizona, Texas, Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas. So we've kind of increased our where we're looking in terms of our buy box.
Gotcha. Yeah, and talk more about how you help, because you mentioned it in the past. You and Dave help build, the back end system for operators, their investor relations teams. Talk more about that, and maybe if you're looking for partners to help you also raise capital, maybe raise a larger check, get better terms. Yeah, talk more about your strategy there.
Yeah, we took kind of like a tech enabled approach to the whole capital raising thing. We were frustrated with like the CRM systems that were out there. So we went out and built our own. Dave played a big role in that. And essentially the way it works is I go out on LinkedIn and do thought leadership things and give away free products in exchange for an email address. And once that email address comes in, we start sending them you know, nurturing campaigns to get them familiar with us. We send them newsletters, we send them deals, emails, and the whole thing is automated. We're keeping track of every little stat. So like someone opens an email or responds to an email or soft commits for a deal, they get points, and we're keeping track of everything. The reason why that's important is because we know who to call first. We have like a list of like, here's our top 20 people that we need to actually spend time on the phone with if we want to get their money. So that's like just a little more automated than what you'd typically see.
For sure.
And then your next question, what was
Go for
that?
it.
What was the next question?
Yeah, so I was gonna say you mentioned your calendar was booked for 2 months. Talk more,
It
yeah. Talk more about the
is.
people you were talking to there.
That's the downside of having like your whole business be like on social media and then having an open Calendly link where anyone can go and schedule. So I don't want to do more than like I end up having to do 5 or 6 meetings a day, but I don't want to schedule in advance more than like 2 or 3 meetings a day. And so I don't have that much availability in my calendar because it's taken up like really fast. Like I'm booking 2 to 3 months out. That's just how it is. And then I have all the people emailing me asking for meetings, like, and I have to connect them with my assistant who then finds them a time, and it's just a mess. I need to get better at calendar management by saying no to more people. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, so what are your plans moving forward?
So really looking to grow the fund of funds thing. I'd like to be writing bigger checks for these deals. Like ideally I'd like to come into these deals with, $5 million, 'cause then you can really negotiate good terms. I want to expand my deal flow. I want to be known as the deal guy. Like when I pitch a deal, it should be the best deal that's available anywhere. And I feel like I'm finally getting to that point where I'm close. 'Cause it's like my go rate, my pursuit rate is like 2% right now on all the deals that I see. But if I could have like, 500 deals in my inbox every month, there might not be that many out there, in terms of syndications, but, I want to increase my deal flow. The other thing I want to do is make more family office and institutional relationships, because it's actually it takes a lot less effort and work to get like $50 million from one person than it does to collect $50,000 from 30 people.
Yeah, and take us through your plan, maybe building those relationships with institutions, family offices, etc.
My plan is to start with the best deal flow. So if I can control all the deal flow, then the investors will be they will migrate toward me because they know that I have the best deals. So that's how I'm going to attract them. I don't need to do all this like cold outreach, like Sales Navigator and like spam emailing and stuff. I could just attract them by having the best product that they've ever seen.
That's good. Yeah, so talk more about your fee structure with the fund of funds.
Sure, with the fund of funds, it changes based on each deal, based on the risk, based on what the operator is offering us. But typically, there's a upfront component, like a due diligence fee, because we're doing a lot of work to weed out deals, analyze deals, and there's a lot of dead deals that don't end up happening. So we get a due diligence fee upfront based on how much capital comes in. We then have like a really small fund management expense, similar to an asset management fee, but really this is for administering, the monthly updates and the distributions and dealing with the investors, and stuff like that. It's just an admin expense. And at the very end, we do a transaction fee. So instead of having our investors get what's called double waterfalled or double split, because there's a split at the operator level, and then there's another split usually at the fund of funds level. What we're doing is we're just doing like a fixed transaction fee at the end. Like, thanks for doing business. Like, we did our job. Like, we administered this deal for you, this opportunity for you. Here's your thank you. And so it's pretty much very similar to the way that any other one does it, but we just don't do that double waterfall at the end.
Gotcha. Yeah, so regarding the market, you mentioned you invest a lot in the Sun Belt. How do you research those markets, and what do you look at in the markets that you invest in?
What's great is that when you're investing with experienced operators, usually they are like an expert in their little submarket that they're investing in. For example, like ATX knows everything about Jacksonville, Florida, because they've done, 12 or 15 deals there already, like full cycle. So, we can rely on their data and what they're pulling and what they're seeing in the market. And that's another reason why it's like we need to be working with really experienced sponsors. Of course, we verify stuff. So like we'll go and we'll pull some of our own comps. We'll go look at stuff and we'll question their assumptions. But for the most part, you know, I'm not – let's say you're like the expert on Dallas, Texas, like because you live there and you've been doing deals there for 20 years. Like who am I to come in and say that your comps are trash, you know? It's you know, we pick you because we trust you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, walk us through your underwriting process.
That's good. So deal comes in, the virtual assistant does a first pass, inputs as much data as she can into our CRM. My intern, well, actually my analyst, he's an investment analyst. He then does a second pass where he goes into the deck and into the Excel model, pulls out all the metrics that I want to see and puts them into the CRM. And then I go in and review all that and his comments and decide if it's worth doing due diligence on. And once we get to that point, you know, I'll come up with a list of questions that we didn't get from the deck or the underwriting model. I'll send it to the operator. We'll get those answered. And then usually after that, like we can make a quick decision of if we want to pursue it or not, because we're really only working with operators that we trust in the market that are experts. You know, we're not, you know, flying out there with our own engineers and doing our, you know, our own co-star, you know, reports and stuff. The operators do that for us and they provide us with all that data. Like they'll send us the co-star reports, they'll send us the property condition assessments and all that stuff. So like we kind of get all the due diligence done by partnering with that operator. So it's pretty straightforward for us. After looking at a deal, you know, I can look at a pitch deck for maybe 5 minutes and know pretty sure if we're going to be investing or not. So the due diligence process really just is for uncovering those Easter eggs that might just kill the deal.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. And regarding the Easter eggs that might kill the deal, what types of returns do you guys target? And then how do you reduce risk?
Depends on the strategy, the risk, the location. Just a general rule of thumb, we're looking for like 15% IRRs, 2.0 equity multiples, year one cash flow of 5%. It's pretty straightforward. What we love to do is we like a core plus strategy where there's like either a very light renovations or no renovations at all. Maybe it's just like a tax abatement strategy, but they're getting it, buying at such a good price that the conservatively projected returns are still like 18% IRRs.
For sure. Yeah. And walk us through like the kind of people you help, because it seems like you help a lot of people, you know, family offices, institutional, retail investors. How can they get in contact with you? And then what types of things can they expect to benefit them?
Sure. So you can check us out on our website at goldhawk.us. Add me on LinkedIn, Elijah Brown. I've got a little freebie for the limited partners. Essentially just an Excel calculator in Google Sheets for figuring out if the deal makes sense or not. You can check that out on our website. It's under the resources tab. It's like LP calculator or something is the URL, goldhawk.us/LP calculator. In terms of like what we do, it's like our whole thing is deal flow and analyzing deals and making sure that we're only bringing high quality deals to the investors. You know, the sponsors come to us because they know they have a good shot at getting funded for their deals if their deals are good. And then the investors come to us because they know we're only showing them the top deals in the market. So
That's good, Elijah. Well, thank you for coming on the show. Glad we could have you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Appreciate it.